Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Angel Speakers Blog Talk Radio. Your host is Terry Miller, who is an author, psychic, medium, energy healer, and happiness coach who resides in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. On Terry's website, angelspeakers.com, you can read all about time, as well as her other services offered, and even book a session from there. The information discussed on Angel Speakers is intended for general information and entertainment purposes only. It is not designed to provide listeners with specific personal, medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. The programs are not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individuals with health problems should always consult their health care provider for professional medical advice, medications, or treatments. The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own and shall not be construed in any way as advice from Angel Speakers. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Angel Speakers or the show hosts whose words and or opinions appear from or on this broadcast. To connect by phone, dial 929-477-1899. If you have called in and want to participate by being on the air with our hosts, press the 1 on your phone. We encourage participation from the chat room as well. Now, here's your host and founder of Angel Speakers, Terry Miller.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the show tonight. I am so excited about this show as we start a weekly news show with a special co-host. And I am going to bring my other co-host, Karen Palmer, on the air with us because she will be introducing our wonderful friend, Satya. Before Karen does that, I would like to share with you that there will be a show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Angel Speakers, and it will be Fridays with Brandy, our regular show for Friday nights. I thank you all so much for being here tonight on the line and in the chat room. And I know you're going to get a blessing from our co-host, Satya, tonight. So now, Karen, hello and welcome.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with everybody. And wow, we are so blessed to have this amazing co-host. And eventually, she's going to basically run the show here for us. We're going to just kind of be friendly co-hosts to her because she has so much to share with all of us. And this is going to be a wonderful weekly lesson that she's going to be blessing us with. So I'll just give just a little bit of her background because honestly, she is so amazing. And what a wonderful blessing for all of us to have the experience of starting to have more bliss in our life. I mean, she is really going to teach us this how blissful living is possible right now. So I invite everyone to just take a few relaxing breaths and just really sink into hearing about Satya and how her wonderful story and her message can help each of us. So Satya Kaura is popularly known for the Anandam lifestyle, which means blissful living. She's a 15-time best-selling author, happiness and self-transformational coach, a spiritual guide, and an international speaker that's based out of Danville, California. She's also the founder and president of a nonprofit organization that's called The Path to Anandam, to help people to explore their internal happiness, the peace within. Prior to finding Path to Anandam, Satya had been through many facets in her own life, and she has been a veteran in the biotech industry of 35 years, serving as a visionary, entrepreneur, scientist, and founder. She was the CEO and president and chairperson, She's also a dedicated mother to three beautiful children a responsible wife, and a committed social worker. She's following her divine call, and she left the helm of being a CEO in a biotech industry in the cancer arena after serving for 35 years and then founded the Path to Anundam. Her personal mission is to live in love, peace, and Anundam, and to propagate blissful living by helping others become more self-dependent, self-reliant, especially destitute women and children. She has a master's in chemistry, and she also went to the University of Illinois. She also did her business management and marketing education in the University of Berkeley. For over 40 years, Satya has been unfolding her understanding of higher consciousness and supreme health and happiness through meditation and studying the Bhagavad Gita. She moved to the United States in 1969 from India, and shortly thereafter began a path of self-discovery through meditation, studying the Bhagavad Gita, and spiritual practices. For now 25 years, she's been enriching and teaching how to attain eternal happiness and peace within, how to reach your unlimited potential by raising your conscious level. I just love Satya. I just want to say, just honestly, I came to Satya one day, and I was just really frazzled, and within a couple of seconds, she brought me into my true essence, my true inner peace, my inner happiness. And so when she said she was going to put together and do a podcast, I was so excited to share this with Terry and so grateful that Terry would give this beautiful platform for Satya's amazing gift. So welcome, Satya.
Namaste, and thank you very much, Karen, for such a lovely introduction. I hope I live up to that. And and also, Terry, thank you very much for bringing me on your platform to share my experiences and the wisdom which has been bestowed onto me. And I really want to share that information, and hopefully I can bring the angels, more angels, to your angel and angel audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Satya. And I have to say also, like Karen, I was just blown away when I got to meet you in person in Salt Lake City, just seeing that wonderful essence from you of love. That's what I felt in your presence, was just pure love. So I'm honored that you are here with us tonight, and I know we're going to learn so much from you, Satya. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me. And namaste to all of you and the audience and everyone around us. And you know what does namaste means. Namaste means basically we fold our both hands. And when we fold our hands, we can direct them upward or we can direct them toward others. So when we are directing our folded hands toward others, we are saying the light within me is bowing down to the light within you. The goodness what you have within you, the divinity what you have within you is bowing down and resonating and merging with the energy, that divine energy within me. And when we have those folded hands upward toward the sky, it means that I am thanking God Almighty, that supreme power, to helping me to connecting with self. So namaste to all of you again.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, I've always resonated with that word. So thank you for that beautiful explanation of it, Satya.
And I'm interested that you shared the mudra also, that the hand, the position of the hands, that makes so much sense. You know, I teach children yoga, and we always say namaste at the, you know, at the end of our practice. So, and I love, you know, that's how I explain it. And the translation also is, I see the goodness in you and you see the goodness in me. And that is a beautiful interpretation of how to express it, you know. And the thing is that when we start to see these beautiful ancient scripts, you know, the text, it's very common that we can find similarities in the way that we can translate, right?
Yes.
Because we're all one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Do you know that what we would like to speak here, blissful living Anandam now. And many times when I talk about that, the very first question people ask me, we understand the blissful living, but what is Anandam? Many people have not even heard that word. But what Anandam is the true blissful living, being happy. Like happiness has temporary impact. It's one time one could be happy, other time one could be unhappy. There is the opposite word for happiness, sad, sorrow, misery. On other hand, Anandam has no opposite word. It is the eternal happiness, the joyful living where we feel all the time happy and every cell of our body is dancing with happiness. And external factors have minimum impact on it. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it's raining or storming, whether I have an internet or I do not have an internet, my Wi-Fi is working or not working, because that's what I have been experiencing for last 2 and 3 days in our beautiful city, San Francisco area. And I try to make a phone call to India, and my Wi-Fi didn't work. Of course, my WhatsApp didn't work. Then I remember that I have another line where I could use it. I went to that line, and you know, they said, my line is blocked because I owe them $1.37, which I did not pay. So I was just laughing. I said, that divine does not want me to talk today on the phone. That's why all the lines are blocked. So
right.
Anandam means whatever happens around you, you just smile and laugh about it and don't get affected with it.
Absolutely. But has it always been that way for you, Satya? It seems that you did have to have an experience, of course. You were in the corporate world. So what was that like? And were you in the path to Anandam when you were in your corporate world?
I had been practicing it, but there are many situations I was on yo-yo game. On one side of the pendulum or the other side of the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, after coming from India, when I just came here, it was such a difficult situation. Came on December 13, 1969 in Chicago, in Windy City, where I did not have the snowshoes. Ground was totally covered with the snow, and my feet with the open shoes just went in. And it was so cold, so windy, and I just I mean, I did feel cold. I did feel, oh my God, where am I here? Then gradually, I bought the snowshoes. I went to school because I had to go to school because I came here on a student visa. My husband had a student visa and I was his dependent. So I could not work in this country. So I had to go to temporary services to get the job where they do not require any visa. And so first time when I got the job got the admission in the school, and through school, one can get the job without having the visa. And that was the most happiest moment for myself. I say, oh my God, I felt like I was on the top of the world. I achieved something. But you know, it didn't last that long. Then I went to school, studying there, got my degree there, still didn't have a proper visa to work, so I got the green card. I don't know whether you had a green, you know what green card is, but it is basically a permanent visa. So I got that. Then I felt so good. But then, many places it required the citizenship. So my happiness disappeared. For five years, I had to wait to get the citizenship. Then I got the jobs. And whenever I got a job, when I came to this country, since I didn't have a visa, I just got a job in the factory to sweep the floor. Where I had a degree, I came from a good family background, and here I'm sweeping the floors in America, where people say, I had the impression and people said, the roads are paved with gold in America. And I was looking, and the gold is hanging on the trees. And I would walk around and I didn't see any gold. I just had the broom in my hand, sweeping the floors. And believe it or not, I had tears in my eyes too. And I say, oh my God, where did I land? If this is what America is all about. But, you know, when I got graduated, I got job, and then, you know, I got one job and as a research assistant. Then I saw the supervisor in my lab. Then I said, okay, I want to be a supervisor one day, and that will bring the happiness. So I became the supervisor, and I became happy. Then I had a manager. So then I felt like, I'm not a manager. So I become unhappy again. So my bar kept increasing. My happiness was so temporary. Then, you know, I learned the driving, and then I was happy. Then because I could go anywhere I wanted, but then I had the kids, so I couldn't go that many places with the job. So, you know, it's like life became a pendulum. One side, I would be happy. Other side, I would not be happy. So I felt that I was living on the if island, where if this happened, I will be happy. If this thing happened, I will be happy. So I was living on the island of if.
And I know that island pretty well.
And it was not a story of me, the people around me. All around that, they were feeling the same way. And one day it's a sunshine, we are happy. Other day it's raining and cloud and it's snowing in Chicago. Then people say, oh my God, what a lousy day today is. So, you know, our happiness always dependent on the external factor. And I had no idea that there is something more than that. So my goal
was... one question, Satya. Just one question. When you came to America, when you moved from India, had you already started reading the Bhagavad Gita, or was the Bhagavad Gita something that came into you after you were CEO?
Actually, I brought the Bhagavad Gita, a copy of Bhagavad Gita with me. However, when I tried to read it, I could not understand anything what Lord Krishna was saying in that one. So I just put it on my shelf. I just put it on my shelf and never opened it up again. And in the corporate world, you know, my husband and I both were scientists. So we decided that working for someone else, why not we found a biotechnology company, which we did. And very tough road, starting your own business, leaving both jobs, having also two children. It was an extremely tough road for us. But we pulled through it. And financially, it was very difficult because there was a big recession, and the money we had to get it on the interest for running the company, we were paying about 18% to 25% interest on that money. And it was a very rough time. But gradually, we pulled through it. We had our products, and we started selling in the market and learned quite a few things about the business, even though I came from a business family, but I had never run the business myself. I had observed, and it was a different type of business. So, but my goal was that someday I want to learn so much in the business that I want to be a CEO of the company. And I studied, I went to UC Berkeley, I studied and I did whatever I could have done. You know, all those motivational tapes like Brian Tracy and you name it. You know, I heard all more than 50 tapes, Deepak Chopra and anybody and anyway, you can think about it. My life was just to build my career and had the children at home, so take care of the family. But I was always on go, go, go to reach the sky. And when I reached the sky, in my language was becoming a CEO, then I founded another company independently because before I was a co-founder with my husband. So then I decided to found another company, a biotechnology, where I was not only just a CEO, I was a chairperson, I was responsible for everything, and, you know, I felt like I was on the top of the world.
Right.
But, you know, it looks very glamorous, but when you are in, you have to worry about the finances, the employees, the shareholders, our board, the advisory board, and customers and everything. And so it's a full responsibility. But the beauty was that by that time, what happened in 1993, I met one of the saints. And at that time, I was going through a very difficult time in my life with my health issues, my relationship issues, financial issues. And I looked very sad, even though I didn't open my mouth anything to tell him. But he was a higher conscious man, so he just got my aura, my vibration. And he said, I should read Bhagavad Gita. And I said, then Bhagavad Gita. Sometime Lord Krishna says, do action this way. Other time he says, do meditation. Other time he says, go and do the selfless service. And I don't know what to do. There are so many things he is suggesting. And, but you know, the beauty of that other thing was that something happened to me in 1977. I'm just going back. And at one night, I was sleeping, and all of a sudden, a golden light with one symbol, which I didn't know, it used to call Om, symbol of Om, but I didn't know it was Om or whatever, but I just enjoyed that golden light just flowing on me and with that symbol and giving me that so much warmth and heat and just in the cold night in Chicago, I'm enjoying that really cozy big blanket of that golden light. So every night after that, when I went to sleep, I went into that golden light blanket and slept in that one. And that transformed me so much that when I start reading the Bhagavad Gita in 1993, then I said, Bhagavad Gita is all about? I see all those things. In fact, prior to reading the Bhagavad Gita again in 1993, when I was in meditation, I used to see a lot of graphics, lot of things, messages coming to me, and lot of things are flowing in front of me. So I used to draw those things and the messages what I used to get. And when I read the Bhagavad Gita, it just validated that whatever I was seeing in my dreams, most of the things were just kind of validation of my feelings. And I was practicing in the business. Those things I started practicing because I think somehow I got connected to the Supreme Power during that process. And Bhagavad Gita, when I start reading, it started making a lot of sense to me. I start talking about it. People used to ask me, and I got so much into making the PowerPoint presentations in those days where now people talk about spirituality and meditation through the animations and graphics and PowerPoint. But in those days, it did not exist. But I was doing it to many groups and to my business people. And the message was there that I should look for the goodness in every situation, in everybody. And I start enjoying those so much. And to me, then when people used to kind of annoy me before, or when I used to get annoyed when people give me some criticism, made some comments, and later on, I was looking for people's comments, people's criticism to give me some feedback so I can improve. So my transformation started happening, and instead of looking or feeling bad about what I was not good about it, I start making the list of the items which I need to improve upon. So I became so open, and life became whole new. I did not feel that I'm constrained. In fact, I felt like I'm expanded. My world has expanded, and I'm no longer that small, just a body, or Satya who lives just in a body. I felt like I was living in the whole universe.
Yeah, that's wow. That's beautiful. And so what would you describe as lasting happiness? And how would somebody achieve lasting happiness? So a lot of us know a lot about unhappiness.
Yes.
And a lot of people probably resonate with your story about being in the corporate world, and many of us have had that experience where we, you know, lived in the island of if. If this happens, then I'll be happy. If this happens, then I'll be happy. How do we find lasting happiness?
You know, so the lasting happiness, as I described anandam, or everlasting happiness, which we all have it within ourselves, whether we are aware of it or not, because when we are, just I can give you an example or take you through that exercise. You know, think about when you were very upset about something. And when you sit down, or when you're driving, or when you're going somewhere, or some, you know, over a period of maybe half an hour, 1 hour, maybe it takes 8 hours, 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, whatever it is, eventually we kind of get over with it. To certain degree, I wouldn't say all of it, but to certain degree, our mood changes. And we change from one unhappiness to come to neutral and then become happy, then become unhappy. The eternal happiness is when the happiness stays as happy, the joy. happiness does not become sorrow or sad, but it is always like a joy. We are very joyful all the time. It's just like, you know, when water boils and when you turn off the burner underneath, what happens to the water? It comes back to its original state, to the original temperature, the room temperature. It's not that boiling temperature of 100 degrees anymore. Maybe in 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, it will come back to the room temperature. Similarly, we come back to that state as well. But what happens once we learn this, how to attain this eternal happiness, then the time frame or the time gap we need from 1 hour to several hours or weeks to come back to the normal state, it minimizes it. You start laughing about it. If things happen, happen. If it doesn't happen, I can give you another example. 2 days ago, my husband said, oh, when you go to the kitchen, just be careful, because when I open the dishwasher, one of the corning where dish fell out and it broke. And it got into all the pieces. I tried to clean it, but be careful. And put some socks or shoes, otherwise you might get into your, those small pieces might get into your feet. And I laughed about it. I said, oh, so this corning where a dish was ready to leave us now. That's okay. Maybe it's time, that dish's time was over. So now I'm going to buy the new set of the corning ware now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you laugh about it. Anything happens, you just don't get annoyed. You just laugh about it. And that's what the most fun is about this eternal happiness or blissful living or anandam. That's why I say now. We have to live it in anandam now. And you ask me, how can we attain that? Because we all want to experience that, because we have it within ourselves, but it is kind of sunlight. Sometimes sun gets covered with the cloud, and when the sun clouds disappear, the sunlight comes back to us. Also, we get our anandam or our eternal happiness kind of gets covered with this worldly external factors or situations, and we don't see that golden light within ourselves. We do not experience that blissfulness within ourselves because it is covered. So how to remove that? That is the main question. And when I learned that, I was so blessed that God gave me that opportunity to share that with others. So how to get it? Or how to unshield that eternal happiness, which is actually, that is our true nature. Our true nature is that we are the happy creatures. We are the eternal, blissful people. In fact, we are all angels. And we carry the angels around us. And we are the angels. But sometimes, with this external factors, we experience and go through certain things which we get angry, upset, and we kind of become a devil. So we want to stay in that divine state which we own, which we have it. It's our God-given right, and we all have it. So we want to unveil that. Now, how we should do it? And I call it is basically requires some self-transformation. Well, it is a self-transformation anyhow. But we need to do some self-disciplining for that. And we have to live in awareness. And what I mean by living in awareness, that we have to pay attention, be observant, that what makes us unhappy? What are the things trigger our negative behavior? also, I ask, not when I am aware of that or when I pay attention to it, and why am I upset, I kind of accept it. Because before I kind of brushed it on the side, I didn't want to even accept it that I get angry. And some people used to say, oh, you get angry. I used to become even more angry when somebody said that to me.
No, I don't. What makes you say that?
Yeah, well, how can you say that? I never get angry.
I'm not angry. What are you talking about?
So I start accepting it.
Yeah.
So the thing was not only that when I had to wait for other people to tell me, I used to just observe my own emotions, own vibrations in my body, and accept it. What if somebody cuts me off on the freeway? Does my kind of body kind of moves around and my emotions kind of move around, or am I still that stable? And once somebody, even not only that, or I cut somebody off by mistake, or I didn't pay attention and I just did it and the other person honks on me, rather than getting upset, I just show them two fingers, my peace to them. So I start accepting it. So that we have to be aware of it and start accepting it. But we also have to start asking the questions. Why am I upset? Do I really want to live like this life? What truly the purpose of my life is? That was always I used to have that question for myself. Why am I here? Why did God send me on this earth? Just to do this, all these mundane things and go to work, just come home, cook dinner and feed kids and take them to school. And just, is that what my life is all about? And then my answer came to me. When I learned this eternal happiness, the message came to me, not only you have to stay happy, you have to experience that eternal happiness, but now you have to go and share with others so other people can also be happy and they share with others. So this is how we make this world more loving, peaceful place, not just only for us, but for all generation to come, for our children, for others. So make our surroundings a beautiful, peaceful place. This is what we are all about.
So is that why you started the nonprofit organization too? Was that, did you feel that was part of your purpose?
Actually, that was the message was coming to me all the time, that this is my purpose, but I just didn't know how to leave the corporate world. Because it was, you know, big responsibility to leave the corporate world and wondering what would happen to the employees, what would happen to the other customers, your market, your products. You know, you just so many things. Kind of as a CEO and as a chairperson, you have to be concerned about these things. And I used to do a lot of prayers to God that I want to do what you are guiding me, but I have a difficult time to leave this corporate world, and I need your blessing, I need your help. And he sent me an angel in my house to help me out. That one saint came to our home, and I was just running around, and he came, and he usually comes for less than 24 hours in our day. Like, he comes in the afternoon, then we have a program for him, and then next morning around 7 o'clock he leaves. At that time when he came, his back gave up and he couldn't move around. And he said, Satya, I never got sick in my life. What happened? When I came here, this is all happened. For 11 days he was stuck in our house. His back was totally given up. But he observed my life, and in fact, one night in the dark, I was writing, and he came to the bathroom where I was just sitting and writing on the steps of my jacuzzi, and He didn't say anything to me, but next morning, he said, what were you doing at night? And I just showed him that what I was writing. I just read it to him. And then I showed him many other things which I was writing. And he says, what? That's what you write? Because I usually write in meditation, or whenever messages come, I just write it. I don't have to take a, I mean, I could write in the car, I could close eyes, whatever it is. So I was just doing that. And when he saw, and I by that time I had the 7 binders of all those messages. And he says, this is about time I should share with the rest of the world. And I said, I don't know how to do it. I have big responsibility. And I went through soul searching, and while he was here, I resigned. His name is Swami Chidanand Muniji from Rishikesh Paramatmiketan Ashram. He's the founder, he's the president, he's the president of Divine Shakti Foundation. So he became my angel. And so that's where I left, and I even didn't know whether I was starting this non-profit organization. I had no idea what I was going to do it. And I started writing the book, and I wrote the book, and then all of a sudden it came to me after 9 months of leaving my corporate world that I should share my messages, not just writing through the books, but many other ways. So this is how the birth of Path to Anandam came, because way to be blissful life, how to transform yourself to that blissful life came to me. So I started the organization where we help guide people how to transform themselves, and individuals, CEOs and supervisors, managers, families, etc., to help them to how to get their difficult situations and transform themselves so they start enjoying. So the challenges what they have in life, they are not just the miseries and why me kind of thing, why am I going through this? It becomes like, okay, I have a new lesson in my life now, which I am going to learn and move on with my life. So basically we teach people, guide people, how to swim in this world without drowning it. Like learning how to swim in that swimming pool without drowning. So we basically do the same thing in this world, because to me, this world is a big swimming pool. We just have to learn how to swim in it and not to drown. And learn with every lap, we have to learn a lesson there and become better and better and better. So going back, that we have to live in awareness. And actually, I have AAA strategy. And to me, AAA is more like a AAA insurance. You know, we have it that insurance since we came to this country. So to me, AAA was very easy to remember. So AAA strategy is, first, be aware. My life is. Also, my physical body. Do I have a good health? Do I have a good working attitude? What do I think most of the time? These kind of the questions, you know, I ask all the time, you know, like a self-analysis, a kind of awareness. Do I worry? Am I fearful? Am I stressed? Because the blissful life is, what is a blissful life? Blissful life is basically anger-free, fear-free, resentment-free, worry-free, stress-free, all those things, basically free of all. So I asked that question to myself, and this is the program I have. I have it in all of my books, the AAA program, where we ask the questions. And also, you know, what kind of actions do I do? How do I speak? My words and speech match with each other, or are they disconnected? Who are my friends? Who do I meet? How can I help the community? And so all those questions I keep asking. And then where am I today, where I want to be. So I call it like a gap analysis, or you can say it more like a diagnostic, like if I have a headache or if I have any situation, then why do I have a headache? I have to go to doctor. He is going to diagnose me before he is going to give me the prescription. So first A is for the self-awareness. So pay attention. Live in the awareness, basically mindfulness of the awareness. And then accept it. And also analyze it. Why am I feeling this way? Because sometimes certain things happen to us in our childhood. And no matter what happens, anytime somebody tells us something that triggers our past memories, whether something happened to us while with our siblings or parents, or with some situations happened to us, we were abused physically, emotionally, whatever, all those negative things trigger. So we have to be aware of those things. So where are we? What happens to us? Just make a list of that. And then we go for the third A, which is called the action. Action for correction. What am I going to do about situation? So those actions, I have it, I call it 7 steps. And those are for the self-transformation, self-improvement. And in a spiritual world, we call it self-purification. Because I feel like we have a lot of things within our system. And unless we cleanse our system, then garbage in, garbage out. So I have to basically make myself, cleanse my system, and free myself from those emotions or physical limitations or financial limitations, whatever we have. That's why we call it our mission or our goal of our company is to increase the level of happiness, peace, abundance, anandam, success at every level of our life. And we help and guide people in that manner. So everybody is different. Some people have a financial issue. Some people have a emotional issues, some physical issues. All go through those exercises with them, through meditation, through pranayama. Pranayama is a breathing exercise. So we have those exercises for them. And also we have a program, for example, if somebody gets very angry, then we kind of analyze it, where this anger, or somebody gets very stressful with certain situations, where this stress is coming from, and how we can help them to minimize those negative impact of it. Because as we know, nowadays, you know, you go, so much research is done, and the research shows that once we get angry, it takes us somewhere 8 hours, maybe a month, but a minimum 8 hours for our body to come back to the normal state. We might behave or act or smile on the face, but our blood pressure, which has gone up, the toxins which have been released in our system, the hormones which adrenal glands have produced, all those things to come back to the normal state, it takes minimum 8 hours. So we try to help people and lead them more toward the calmness and analyze themselves. But we customize programs for individuals. But again, these are the 3 basic principles we use, like AAA, awareness, analysis, and then action for correction, which are the 7 steps. And I don't think we will have that much time today to speak about all the 7 steps. But what we will do, I'm just going to give you only 1 step today. There are a few tips, but the first step is that just set the goal. that from now on, I'm going to be happy, blissful. So, as the title says about our show, Blissful Living Anandam Now. So, start, very first step, make the commitment to yourself that from now on, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be blissful, and I'm going to enjoy my life. But you know that it is easy said than done. It's easy said than done. Even though we make a commitment, there are situations which kind of trigger us, some emotions. So what we do, at that time, I kind of guide people and tell them, take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Let's do it and take a deep breath right now and hold it.
Okay.
This is the exercise. Let's do it. Take a deep breath and fill your stomach all the way down to your whole body. And hold it for as long as you can. But maybe 15 seconds, 30 seconds, longer, but we will just do it until 30 seconds if you can. And then release it very slowly. So see what happens. When we held that breath for 30 seconds, our focus was totally on our physical body, on the breath, and nothing from the external thing was coming to us. It was basically blocking it. So let's observe it one more time and let's take another deep breath and hold it. But this time when you're holding, just a smile. And release it gradually. Let's do it one more time. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Smile. And release it very slowly. Did you feel that all the external energy which was coming to us kind of got blocked with this, our internal breath, which was in our body, which our body was filled with the breath and nothing was penetrating us? That's why we take that deep breath. And if it is possible, and if we have a sip of water around us, just drink a sip of water. And then continue to smile. But what I would request until next week, what I would recommend that continue to live in the mindfulness of awareness. Then what are those issues? Just make a list of it. Don't do anything about it. Just make a list of it. Just be aware of it. And accept it if you can. If you don't want to accept it, that's okay. But just try, make a list of your emotions, your issues, and just next week, we will take one emotion at a time and work on it. But just for 5 minutes, we can do a little meditation here, or in case somebody has a question, but can we do a little meditation here for 5 minutes or so?
Yes, we absolutely can. We have one caller that has raised their hand, Satya.
Okay.
I would love for you to do a meditation.
Okay. So should we do the meditation first, or should we answer it? Or should we answer it first?
Let's answer the question and then end the show with the meditation. Can we do that?
Yeah, so let's answer the question first.
All right, this is area code 908. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Good evening. I love this whole conversation. I think it's awesome.
this conversation about happiness, because so often you find so many people are walking around so miserable and upset that when they see you happy or smiling, they look at you like you come from another planet. So I just find it interesting that you're having this conversation on happiness, and to me it makes a lot of sense. But for so many people that walk around with so much frustration, it doesn't seem like it's a good place to be. It seems like it's such a struggle for them to walk around in that happiness. So this is very good and very refreshing to hear this. Thank you.
So can we start the meditation now? And thank you very much for your lovely comment.
Yes. Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate you listening. Yeah, so Satya's going to do a meditation for us, so don't hang up.
So we are going to do a self-awareness meditation. Since we talked about the awareness, so we are going to do the self-awareness meditation. So wherever you are, if you can sit, just sit steady, comfortably. You can sit on chair, on the floor, in a cross legs, lotus position, half lotus position, or whatever position, as long as you are comfortable. And make sure your back, spine, chest, neck, and head are straight and aligned. You may want to put about 3 inches pillow if you have it under close by. If not, just sit as comfortable as possible. And put your hands wherever you feel comfortable. You can just put it in your lap with one hand, left hand underneath and right hand on the and thumbs in with each other. And this is called Anjali Mudra. So basically, the facing the palm upwards and place palm over the left palm with thumbs touching each other and close your eyes very gently. Close the genital organs by squeezing the muscles and pulling them upward. Now let's focus on the breath. We will start with 3 long, deep breaths. With each breath, slowly fill your stomach all the way down. Hold it for a few seconds and slowly let it go. With each inhalation, the stomach should come out. Exhalation, the stomach should go down. Let's start and take a deep breath. Hold it for a few seconds and slowly say, relax and let go. Just let go tension and any concern of the day with each breath. Now, breathe normally. Observe and follow your breath from your nostril as it goes in and out. Do not manipulate the breath. Observe the area of the ground or earth you are sitting on. Touching your body, feet, thighs, etc. Observe your body, head, neck, chest area, stomach, hips, legs, feet, toes, shoulders, arms, hands, fingers, observe any discomfort in the any part of the body and change to comfort position. Observe any sensation in the body and let go. Relax yourself completely. Feel and experience the calmness and blissfulness. Feel the divine energy flowing with each breath. Going from lungs to heart, the stomach, lower part of the body and back, from the toes to head, gradually, and say, I am aware of my purpose of my life. I am aware of my surroundings. I am aware of my physical health. I am aware of my emotional areas. I am aware of my financial situation. I am aware of my relationship with my family, friends, co-workers. Full soul. I am Sat-Chit Ananda. I am Anandam. I am love. I am peace. I am Anandam. I am blissful. And I am living in a blissful life. From now on, I live blissful life. I am blissful. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, 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 peace for my body. Peace for my mind and peace for the universe. May God bless all and help us to live in awareness, anandam, and blissful life. Now rub your hands and put it on your head. And just massage your body with that divine Anandamayi Shakti, that Anandamayi energy, that blissful energy. And thank you very much for being a part of cultivating this Anandamayi energy, this positive, blissful energy, and emitting to the universe. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us, your Angel Speakers platform.
Oh, Satya, thank you so much. I am just
so beautiful.
Yeah,
I am so beautiful.
Yeah.
We're blissed out. You blissed us out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Satya, I took so many notes tonight as you were speaking. I'm learning so much from you, and thank you. Thank you. I'm going to let all of this sink in. I know next week I'm going to have so many questions for you, but I appreciate you so much for all that you've shared, and I can't wait to go deeper into this and all that you're going to be teaching us, those seven action steps. I can't wait to learn from you. So thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you, Karen, for being here with us and for bringing Satya into the life of Angel Speakers. You know, we met her out in Salt Lake City together, and such a beautiful soul. So I really appreciate that connection that you brought her to our platform for our listeners to benefit from.
I was just so honored to learn from her myself and to be able to experience this bliss that she really just exudes, and
mm-hmm.
wonderful, just wonderful experience. I knew that this would be a wonderful connection for all of us, so I'm just so grateful.
Yes, absolutely.
And one more thing, I have a daily action planner. Most of my books have a 30 days daily action planner, because it takes 21 to 30 days to change any habit or develop new mm-hmm. habit, or basically transform ourselves, our conscious mind. So if anyone, and it is on our website, so if anybody wants to download that, they just need to go to www.ppeterttomapple.us.org. So just register your name on our website and you can download that planner.
Well, I have that link, and I will put that up in the Angel Speakers Facebook page so that people can click right on it and they can sign up for it. I'll put that up in the Angel Speakers.
Okay. And also,
yes.
They can if they want to, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say I'll put it up on the website that I have as well, which is angelspeakers.com. On the front page, I will put that link with a note that they can go there to reach you.
Okay. Yeah, and also if they want to, because as you know, I do a personal coaching, individual coaching, self-development coaching,
mm-hmm.
etc. So in case somebody wants to have any questions regarding that, they can go onto my website, or they can send me a message through my website. Or we have many books also, which are listed on our site as well as on Amazon. So if anybody is interested, they can look at those things as well.
Wonderful. Satya, you are amazing, and I thank you so much for being here. I've really gained a lot from this tonight. I live a pretty blissful life, I think, but I know I'm always open to learn. I'm always open to look more at myself and how can I increase this level of happiness and joy that I have worked so hard to clear out things so that I can be this way. So I know this is going to be a definite tool in my toolbox, you know, to help me along life's path. So thank you again for all that you do for all of us. And you're
so
just
thank
so
you very
appreciated.
Much. Thank you very much, Karen and Terry.
Thank
both.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Satya. And thank you, everybody who listened and everybody who's who's going to listen to the replay. This is so beautiful. I definitely had notes being taken too. So let's just keep that bliss going. I'm going to really pay attention to those three A's, triple A's. I'm going to have that be my new little reminder.
Absolutely. And get off of that island. You know, love shouldn't be conditional and our happiness shouldn't be conditional. So let's get off that island and really live our bliss. Thank you both so much for being here. And I will post the replay link for you, Satya. I'll send it to you as well. And I appreciate all
Thank
of you. And I'll be back online tomorrow night at 8:00 Eastern Time with Fridays with Brandy. Thank you all. Have a blessed night. I love you. Pass it on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to all the audience. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.